It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. I first of all want to wish everyone a happy Easter and a happy Passover. You know, this Sunday morning is really an important show for me. You know, I was thinking about what we're going to be talking with these wonderful ladies right from Livingston, New Jersey. We're going to talk about the Cooperman Barnabas Medical Center and Comfort 360. And I was thinking about really what the show is about is those helping others, making the world better, lifting up the community, making a difference, not for themselves, but for others. And this show, we're going to be talking about a very sensitive subject, which is cancer. Unfortunately, a lot of us are touched by cancer. When I was getting ready this morning, thinking about the show, it's an emotional show. I lost my parents, and I know just how important, you know, really cancer can be and how it changes everyone's lives. So when you listen to the show, you hear what we're talking about, you know, someone making a difference, send me an email at todd@toddleonardshow.com. Watch us on YouTube. Subscribe. So today we're going to be talking with Hyla Weiss and Suzanne Unger, two lovely ladies who've gone through their own challenges in life. And on the journey of giving back, we talk about life's journey because we all are on a journey. So ladies, good morning.
Good morning.
So first
Thanks
of all, oh, it's my pleasure, ladies. So as I mentioned, you know, today when I was getting ready, you know, really looking forward to the show. You know, I love people that are willing to come on and really talk from the heart and soul about what made them decide to give back and make the world better. And, you know, when I was thinking about Comfort 360, all the wonderful things you've done almost 10 years to lift up the community through your own adversity, through your own resiliency, I was like, it's a real honor and privilege. So good morning once again. So let me talk, if I may, and I don't want to pry, ladies. I don't want you to feel overly nervous like you need your own lawyers here. So it's not like a deposition. But, you know, Hyla, for you, I know you had your own battle with breast cancer twice, a two-time survivor, and God bless you. I know you have a lot of friends on Facebook and Suzanne as well, and I know you have a lot of support. But can you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from and kind of, you know, where you are in your life right now?
So I live in New Jersey now, but I don't call New Jersey home necessarily. I grew up in Connecticut, so my family was sort of raised there. I married a Jersey boy, brought me here, and I have two children. My daughter's 28, will be 28. My son's 24. Love Livingston, terrific community. Are we going to? So you want to understand more about how when I got diagnosed and how that worked?
Well, you know something, Hyla. One of the things about the show is we always give a guest an opportunity to share their journey. If I may, if you'll permit, I understand you did battle cancer a number of years ago twice, and God bless you and your family. You beat it.
Yeah.
And I know that obviously touched your lives and your whole family, the entire life, you know, was touched by it. And we're going to talk about, you know, obviously your resiliency and obviously what that was like. And for Suzanne, you know, I know you lost your beloved mother, right?
Yes.
To cancer. And that was a number of years ago as well. And as I share with both of you, I lost my parents, and I know what it's like to lose a parent, and also, obviously, you lose a loved one. Your whole life changes in so many different ways, but we also realize in life, you got to pick yourself up off the ground and keep on going. So, Hyla, for you, you know, when you obviously, unfortunately, did go through cancer, and you had firsthand experience about what it was like being in a facility and the level of care. And that's one of the things that I wanted to explore is when you were going through your struggle, what did you think about the environment, you know, in terms of, you know, the folks you were interacting with?
I guess the whole experience was overwhelming. I was in my early 40s. My kids were in high school and in middle school. And I'm a very positive person to begin with. It was not my first struggle in health. Before I had cancer, I had another health issue. So I felt this was my second kind of journey through the overcoming something. It was absolutely, it took me down. And so anybody who knows me, my whole spirit is very positive. I'm the first person to wake up and give somebody a pep talk. And so it changed me. It took me down mentally. The whole experience, that whole word cancer is very overwhelming when you sort of hear it. And I'm thinking, I'm really a good person. I'm having a good life. Where is this? Why is this happening? But it does. And you just pick yourself up and you go and you keep going and you get through one day at a time. The people at Cooperman Barnabas, the doctors were wonderful to me, and they're wonderful doctors. They're top of their field, even though, you know, people say, oh, it's not New York, it's New Jersey. That means nothing. The care is incredible. But the actual experience of going through the feeling very vulnerable, feeling very scared, that was something where when I was hard going through it day by day, but when I was done with the first time and the second, I said, there's no way. There's got to be a better way that someone could feel more uplifted, less vulnerable. And that's sort of how I began thinking that it's time to, I have to make it, I have to do something about this. I want to make a difference.
Yeah, so Suzanne, and thank you, Hyla. And like I said, thank you for sharing, because a lot of the folks that are tuning in, watching on Facebook or listening down the radio station have gone through their own battle. And one of the things about this show is, as much as we tackle serious subjects, it's also to motivate and inspire others, because everybody goes through adversity. So God bless you once again for sharing a little bit about, obviously, it's very personal talk about having a diagnosis like that. Suzanne, and in regards to your journey, you know, I know we talked briefly that you lost your beloved, you know, mother, and I lost my mom and my dad, so I understand, you know, it's a devastating thing to go through. But what is it like in terms of the environment when you were going through it, and how it touched you and made you maybe think about other things you could do to help others?
So my mom was battling cancer when I was in my 20s, and we were in New York at the time. And, you know, I would go with her to appointments and treatments and meet with the doctors with her. And again, the doctors were wonderful and supportive. But at the same time, I could remember clearly what the walls looked like, what the hallways looked like. And it was scary. And it was a very, you know, kind of sterile environment. And when Hyla and I came up with our thoughts on Comfort Project 360, the environment did make, you know, we thought the environment would make a huge difference in the way patients felt while going through this journey, that there has to be a better way, that it's scary enough to have a diagnosis. It's scary for the patient. It's scary for the family member. It's unknown. And if you have surroundings that can make you feel a little more comfortable, less anxious, that can make a difference in hopefully the healing process and this journey.
Right. And, you know, I was reading, Suzanne, about your background. I just had to explore. You worked for the National Hockey League for a while, which is only, it's intriguing to me. I was like, wow, I'm expecting this big, tough girl to come in here. How'd you get mixed up in the NHL?
How'd I get mixed up in the NHL? I always loved sports. And in high school, I actually had a boyfriend that was very much into hockey and took me to my first Ranger game. And I just became a huge fan, loved hockey. And when I was graduating, I was applying to different organizations for public relations. And somehow the National Hockey League landed in my lap. And crazy enough, I didn't end up in the public relations department. I ended up in their broadcasting department, not doing what you're doing now, but really being a liaison between the league itself and the teams. And it was definitely a fun time in my life, and I really enjoyed it.
Are you still a hockey fan?
Still a hockey fan.
Yeah.
New York Rangers.
The Rangers. I got hockey. I never played hockey, so for me, I don't totally. I mean, I understand it, but I don't. But growing up, it was the Islanders, the Rangers. Now you have the Devils. I mean, you know, there's a lot of hockey fanatics, a lot of hockey fanatics.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no question about that. So, ladies, you know, you both grew up in Livingston. I'm sorry, you both became friends living in Livingston, right?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the other interesting thing about life, is how people, you end up becoming friends with folks. And you don't know where that might take you in life, right? Because it's just the magical world we live in, right? People come in your life, out of your life, sometimes better, sometimes worse when they leave. But sometimes it's a blessing when they leave. But you ladies came together. So When did you both realize you had kind of a similar experience where you were in the battle of cancer? And even if you're not physically diagnosed, when your family members, your loved one, your best friend, it's like you're diagnosed too. That's the reality of it all. And I can relate to when my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in 2009, actually 2008 and August 8th. I know that when I went to the hospital, we were at Morristown, a wonderful facility, like Cooperman Barnabas Medical Center, really well known, but it's scary. And I remember walking down the hallway, like with my brothers, like, oh my God, like we were devastated. And then you had to embark on treatment and it's your world's turned upside down. So that's why I understood when you were saying, wait a minute, you're in a facility, but it didn't feel that warm, right? The people are lovely, but just the environment. So when did you both realize you had kind of the similar feelings?
One person brought us together that way. So we share a friend who's no longer with us, but going through a very difficult journey, cancer journey. And she was so positive through her whole journey. And we met at one of her birthday parties, and I had just started treatment, and I was uncomfortable sort of sharing my experience. And I guess we had started talking. Cancer doesn't discriminate. The story brings people together because people understand and they're sympathetic and supportive of how difficult it can be, because it's not only just the patient, it's the family and the friends around that patient. So that's one of the things that we make sure we keep thinking about, is it's not just the patient. It's the family and the friends that sit there with you hour after hour when you're going through treatment, or at home when you're not very feeling very well or need some support. So it really is not just patient focus. It's what we do, and what we set out to do was to help everybody involved.
And I think it also came at a time in our lives, you know, Hyla had gone through her journey. My mom, who had passed away many, many years before, it still never goes away. You know, I was involved in the American Cancer Society after my mom passed away, and then, you know, was volunteering in the schools and the temples, and we did that together. And it came at a time when both our older children went to college, you know, with their first year of college. And we just started talking about our journeys. And I think it was a time when we had the availability in our lives to embark on something new. And we spoke about our experiences. And as Hyla said, our friend who is no longer with us kind of gave us that energy that we had to do something and make it better for others.
So when you ladies, so this is the one of the things, like the sisterhood of you two ladies having a common bond, right? You went through this journey of cancer from, you know, obviously you know how it can impact your life and the family's lives. But you decided to do something, and this is always what fascinates me. The reason why I do the show is to motivate and inspire others that maybe they have an idea. Maybe they know there's a need in the community, because that's the reason why I love doing the show, is meeting wonderful people like you that are willing to try things to make the world better. So you both had like a similar experience. You both had a time in your life, because you need the right timing, but you also want to step forward and try to do something. So you ladies collaborate. And then what was your brainchild? What did you come up with?
So I guess it started, I think I was the impetus because I was the patient going through it at that time. And one of the things that pushed me to the point to say to Suzanne or to my doctors, this has to change. And what was my aha moment was when I was in treatment room in the waiting area, and I was at a different phase of my treatment, and I was looking at other women. We were waiting for each of us had to go. And there were men as well, but they were at the hospital. The men and the women are separate. There were different phases. So I was a newbie, and I was staring at somebody who had gone through chemo and had lost their hair and looked very different than me. I found that very scary, and I didn't know where my journey would take me. So it still stays with me. And that was what I said to the doctor. And then through a conversation, I said to Suzanne, there's got to be a better way. Something that feels a little bit more, not dignified, that's not the right word, but I don't know. I couldn't have it. It just didn't feel right for, so that's how we started talking about changing and what could our changes be. And we really then started like wildfire. We walked, talked to the doctors. We talked to the nurses. We talked to other patients. We toured other facilities to see how they were doing it, how they were treating the patient process, to see what we could learn and how to make it better. Because, again, Suzanne knew me a little bit, and I knew myself, and I'm that positive person. And if it was kicking my butt in terms of my spirit, I knew that there's just something that had to be changed because it was just too hard.
Well, it's a beautiful thing that you ladies came up with. So that you're giving the audience a chance to understand about Comfort 360, how it all started, yeah, in terms of the need. But you both ladies are very smart. Hopefully coming on the show is still an intelligent move, a move on your part. We'll give another 45 minutes or so. But on a serious note, like, you knew there was a need. And once again, there was something inside both of you. And you both studied the need, right? You went, you spoke to the experts, you went to facilities. And Suzanne, what was your perspective when you and Hyla, right, were starting to embark on this?
So Hyla actually, took me over to Cooperman Barnabas. At the time, it was St. Barnabas, and we walked into radiation oncology, and we met with Dr. Allison Grand. And I have to tell you, walking in there and seeing the facility, it brought back memories. And I understood what Hyla was feeling. I understood what she was saying, what it felt like to sit there, and even just looking at the patients. And I said, you know what? You're right. There are so many charities, so many organizations that raise money for research, which is so important in the fight against cancer. But there has to be something else we could do while these patients and their families are going through the journey. And we're going to do it. And like Hyla said, we spoke with the doctors, we spoke with patients, we toured facilities. And I think the two of us, the way we work is when we have an idea in our head, we're going to go for it, and we're going to make it the best that it can be. And we started.
So let me ask you this. So, were you ladies scared and nervous? You're going to try to do something, Did you feel like, oh, my God, like, what happens if it doesn't work out? Or were you just like, I need to do it. I have this energy.
There's never a question that this wasn't going to happen. Sorry.
There isn't a question that this was going to happen. But one of the things, and I think one of the hurdles that we had to go through, and actually I want to say two hurdles. One is Hyla being a breast cancer survivor, me being a daughter of a woman who had breast cancer. We had to make people realize this was not about breast cancer. It wasn't about women. It was about anybody going through the journey. Anyone that's touched by cancer. And the other part was the environment. And, as we said, we met with people and we understood as patient and caregiver what it was like to be in an environment that was a bit sterile and what that feels like inside, the anxiety that it brings on. But we had to make our community realize we're not decorators.
That's what when we first met people, yeah, we were talking about our mission.
Changing the environment.
The mission is to enhance the patient environment, to, in addition to the good medical care that the patients are receiving at the hospital, it is to enhance the patient experience. When we first were talking to people about just understanding us, you guys are decorators. It's not about that. There's so much information out there that we read article after article and about healing environments, about lighting in a room, and about the pictures on the wall.
About hiding the machines, and putting cabinetry up.
Reducing the anxiety, making someone feel more supported and dignified as they're sitting there in this flimsy little gown that they're about to go in for their radiation treatment or the environment that you're sitting there for 8 hours getting your infusion your chemo. No. So there was a whole mindset there that we had to do a lot of convincing for the probably the first 2 years.
And it was also
we were two women.
Yeah.
So they didn't get us that we were about all cancers and that we were talking about the environment. And so that were you guys were decorating? And it was a little bit of,
Are you ladies approaching at, let's say, the infancy stage? And which obviously, and I agree, cancer cuts across. Doesn't matter where you are financially. The poorest and a multi-billionaire could be afflicted and everybody in between. So we realize. But also, obviously, you never know when you're going to, unfortunately, have a diagnosis. But who are you first approaching where, you know, you're trying to get this brainchild, very wonderful idea, off the ground? And I'm obviously understanding it's two wonderful ladies coming at it from a, you know, a different perspective. Who were you speaking with initially?
I would say first we were just kind of getting the idea out there with our friends in our community, our husbands and friends and doctors and anybody sort of, because it was a unique a sort of combination that we got together because we weren't necessarily the closest of friends over the years. So people that we knew in the community.
Right. We had connections. You know, we knew each other. We were friends through other friends. But
so we got the first question, what are you guys doing together?
What was that bond? When did you realize, you know, that bond was going to be really close? Was there a time where you had that moment?
It was natural.
It was natural.
It was like we were meant to,
we're meant to do this.
And we were meant to do this. And our friendship blossomed beyond like a sisterhood. So
Livingston is such a tight-knit community. I was new to the community. I'm not from here. Again, I said I'm from Connecticut. Suzanne was, you're actually not from here.
I'm not from here either. I'm from Queens, from Forest Hills.
Welcome to New Jersey.
My late husband grew up here. So
a different set of friends.
It feels like home.
And this one woman who sort of was our connector, Mindy Roth. Again, we shared her journey. And then we sort of got a lot of our hairy eyeballs. Like, what are you guys doing together? And what is this about? But we went bigger than that because we went to the doctors. And when we finally said that this was going to be, the more we talked about it, it took off from there that not only just was environment, it really started with a physical item, which is a comforting robe and a warm blanket. Because we said, what does a person feel even when they're sick? This is when we talked to the kids in the community and to get them engaged in volunteerism and giving back. Because that's one of the things that we feel really strongly about is getting young people to understand the importance of doing something. And so we talked to a lot of the high school kids and a lot of the kids that do mitzvah projects for community service. When you're sitting not feeling well and you're on the couch with a cold, you have a warm blanket or you're wrapped up in your favorite jammies. That's comforting. And so that was our first big kind of, it sounds big program, but it was the little thing that made a big difference to our programs.
And I think another thing that we had to do, I mean, aside from talking to the doctors and patients, is that we learned this doesn't happen without community, without generous donors and people that believe in what we are doing. So we kind of reached out to people within the community, were introduced to people in the community, spoke to them about our ideas. And that's what
It was so positive.
Like, it resonated with
them.
So,
you know, one of the things, too, is why I love doing this show. There's so many wonderful people out there that want to do good. Everybody gets caught up in the bad news and bad people. It's such a tiny sliver, and the world is all focused on that instead of all the good things. So when you went into the community, right, you saw firsthand there's wonderful people, very philanthropic, that want to do the right thing, that want to help out any way they can. And that's kind of what you put the spotlight on, too, what you ladies were able to tap into, right, is the goodness in people. The thing that you said also, which was interesting, is the environment and is the way, you know, you kind of feel when you go into a room, right? because when you ladies went through, unfortunately, the battle with cancer, you, Hyla, and Suzanne with your mom, your late mom, God rest her, it hits you a certain way, right? And that's kind of where the mind, body, and soul kind of all got to come together. And that's really fascinating to me. So when you ladies started to feel some momentum building, you reached into the community, and you were speaking with Cooperman Barnabas, and you ladies also, which is fascinating, you really studied the subject, right? You canvassed what was going on in the various facilities and the doctors. And what was the feedback at Cooperman Barnabas at that time when they realized, you know, ladies, you know, this is an interesting idea?
They actually didn't really know what to do with us, because it's not every day that someone steps up and says, we want to raise money. We want to make a difference for you at this hospital. And they were like, the doctors, the director of the cancer center, the director of the president of the hospital said, wow, thank you. Because like you said, it's not every day. And we never want to pat ourselves on the back. That's not what this is about. It was about being affected by something. Not really, you know, being blown away by it and then saying, well, I think that there's if you want to, we can do something right. So they were really positive, but they didn't know how big or where we could start. But we started big. When we started to talk to people, the doctors would say, we would say, how can we do this? How can you help us do this? And then they introduced us to some what they call grateful patients, patients who completed the journey that perhaps would had the means or the interest to give back or do something. But we were the soldiers. There's many people that are able to do things, but not really know how or to be asked to make a difference. So we went out and asked, and we had meetings and coffees and teas and met and the response was incredible. We were able to renovate.
First radiation oncology.
So it took us 2 years. And it was also, actually, to back up, people were saying, why do you want to do this? Shouldn't the hospital be doing this? Exactly. That was our biggest sort of roadblock. Well, those kinds of changes are done through philanthropy. The hospitals pay for the machines and the doctors, but the extra, the little things, are not. So that was another hurdle. But
yes,
it didn't matter because we had this whole plan. So we started in radiation oncology because that's where I was being treated at the time and worked with the doctors and had a whole plan. Really, the doctor, that's where our focus groups, the hospital helped us figure out what were the needs are. We didn't really know. I knew when I being a patient there and Suzanne knew, but we also wanted to sound like we did our homework because we were coming out of nowhere with this idea. Oh, we're going to change the whole cancer center. The cancer center looks different now because of all the help from the community. And the community just opened their arms to us once people understood that we weren't raising money. It was just making, when you're sitting there with your friend or your family member, that you are going to get a warm cup of coffee. The patient in the chair will be, you know, supported and uplifted by this, some of the things that we're doing. The artwork is positive. It just kind of snowballed from there.
Once again, God bless you, ladies. We're going to take a short break and be right back with Hyla Weiss and Suzanne Unger.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Welcome back. We have these wonderful ladies from Comfort 360, two local ladies making a huge difference in the community. And it's great to have you ladies on. So, you know, Suzanne, I want to get your perspective on you know, one of the things in life, too, is you have to sometimes fight a little red tape or just you're not sure if it's going to work or if there's going to be bureaucratic pressure to push back. And you know, Hyla was sharing that. And I realize, obviously, you know, for the listeners in life, sometimes you don't know until you know. And, you know, Hyla was sharing kind of her perspective. Was it your perspective, too, that, you know, once you both got engaged in the process, the hospital, the community started to be became very receptive?
Yes, it was. The hospital was very receptive. And I mean, once we were putting our thumbprint on radiation oncology, before we knew it, medical oncology came and was like, when can you start with us? And this is what we need. So, because the needs are different in both radiation oncology and medical. In radiation oncology, you're going in for a shorter period. It's, you know, you're getting a treatment and you're kind of out of there within
30 minutes.
30 minutes. When you go up to medical oncology, where patients are getting chemo, you could be in for 8 hours. As
like you're talking like an infusion center.
Yeah, an infusion center.
And, you know, that was a new journey because the needs of the patients going through radiation oncology is more about being in the waiting area, what going into the changing room, and you know, making things, again, more comfortable for them and having less anxiety. But when you go up and you're starting, you know, with infusions, it's a longer period of time. So the needs are different. And again, we went, we spoke with the nurses, we spoke with the doctors, the patients. And I mean, I think the hospital was fantastic. If there was ever a time that, you know, there was a little pushback, we fought harder and we made things happen and we learned every step of the way. We're still learning what more we could do for the patients there. And so other than the environment, we started developing programs because now there were different needs. And one of them was giving out welcome bags. In radiation oncology, we would give out welcome bags and it would have products in them that patients needed going through radiation.
How did you guys know what they needed?
We spoke with the doctors and the nurses, and they explained to us certain needs that they had, that patients needed when they were home and going through the radiation, you know, going through radiation. And then as far as the infusion, you know, being in medical oncology, we started out, somebody had brought to us that someone had given, had been gifted a blanket, and it made them feel warm and comfortable. And we said, oh, we could do that. So we created a blanket program. And every time somebody starts their journey in medical oncology, they are gifted a blanket from Comfort Project 360.
Yeah,
along with welcome bags.
Yeah, I read about the robe and blanket program and obviously these welcome bags. I think it, you know, it's also interesting. I think they're studying this as the time goes on about the human touch and that you need people to feel like people care, right? You can't just care for the patient. You got to really be caring, right?
Yes.
And I guess that extra impetus for you ladies to step up, right, and do that, right, is to give that human touch.
We always have the statement. There's
a difference between care and caring. It's a big deal. You can care, but caring actually brings it to another level to the patient. So it sounds so silly that there's a welcome bag, but it's not. Because when you first diagnose and you have to go through radiation on that level, there's all these products you need. You don't know where to get them, what kinds, what brands. We do it for you. So the doctors told us what you need. We made these bags. We reached out to different local vendors. Again, we wanted to, everything we do, we tried to support local people, local businesses. So there was a business in town that we worked with. Was it Swish? Swish?
Yes.
Made a bag with our logo, and the patient gets everything they need, you know, right there. And it takes the anxiety out. You say, okay, I know what soap to use. I know what you know, all X, Y, and Z, what to use as I'm going through radiation. Same thing in medical oncology. We worked with someone to create ginger candies because sometimes you get nauseous during the treatment. We give out ginger candies. One of the things, now going into one of our programs that really sort of kind of describes us a lot, most, on the on a medical oncology is the comfort cart. And it's a takeoff on the old candy striper concept back in the day. Well, we have volunteers, and this is where it goes into the personal touch. This cart is stocked with teas and waters and candies, some healthy, some unhealthy snacks, little gifts for when patients are having a bad day. But the point is, and why it really works for both the volunteers and the patients, it's the human touch. There's 28 rooms up and down the medical oncology room. Two volunteers go in and knock on the door and say, hi, we're from Comfort Project 360. Could we offer you a complimentary cookie, a piece of candy? How are you doing today? How about a pair of fuzzy socks? You're sitting there for little things mean a lot. And it's
they
been,
do. You know,
patients
it's interesting.
Are like, what, for me?
You know, it's interesting, too, but because patients sometimes feel alone.
They
and
are.
Now you have someone coming in from the community and saying, listen, I care.
Yeah.
I'm not from the outside. I'm in the community. I'm making you feel that you're not alone. Because a lot of people, it's scary. So that's a beautiful thing, too. You know, I was thinking of my friend Wayne Tunis. He lost his beloved sister, Debbie, and he wanted me to mention the comfort cart. So you beat me, too. But he mentioned just about the humanity of it all. And that's why it's a beautiful idea, too. But it also engages the community.
Yes.
So what is it like, you know, Suzanne, from your perspectives, you guys are ladies are from Livingston, and you're getting folks locally to show they do care. And this, once again, there's so many wonderful, positive people out there. But what's your perception and reaction when you hear people from the community doing these things?
It makes me smile. I just feel when the community, as a community giving back, it puts everybody on equal ground. And because it's a common cause. Everybody's there when they're giving back. Everybody's doing it because it's coming from the goodness of their heart. They're not doing it so they could get patted on the back, because that's certainly not where the two of us come from. And I think it just brings out the best in people. And Hyla had mentioned before, we have, you know, the adults that are working on that, you know, volunteer for the comfort cart, which is incredible. And the patients get something out of it. The volunteers get something out of it. But what has grown so large and is even getting bigger we'll call them our rising stars. So it's kids from elementary school through high school that want to give back. And they do food drives. They do drives to collect the products that are going in the welcome bags. And we have, and it just does, they don't know how to do enough. And I think that is building such wonderful character in these children. And they are helping patients, and they want, not only are they collecting, they want to hear the stories. They want to know the why. Why Comfort Project 360 exists and how it started. And we just met with a group of kids that were packing our welcome bags, because not only are they collecting, they want to be involved, and they're stuffing the bags. And they sat and they asked us questions. And the two of us looked at each other. We're like, these kids are incredible. And it just warms our heart that they want that. It's bringing community together, and it's in a world that's a little tough right now. You really see the goodness in people.
Amen to that. So I got all worked up. I didn't give you ladies a chance to. How do people reach out to you? This Comfort 360. Is there an email, a way they can reach out?
Yes, we work with the foundation office that anybody who wants to donate products for our cart or money for our programs. We have a contact at
if you go on RWJ Barnabas and you put in Comfort Project 360, it will take you to our website.
And our main contact for our donation or receiving through the community, the young people. Her name is Mary Daugherty. And she has a number 973-322-4330. And she fields all of our I guess, calls for how, what can I do? Can I, in terms of the young, mostly for the young people. It's so incredible. I know across the board, high schools and middle schools require community service hours for these kids. So it's not like, I mean, that's a real thing that's evolved, which is great for that. This education in our community has sort of put that task on people. But people, it's unfortunately, everyone knows someone who has cancer. And these kids know they're, see someone being touched, their neighbor, their parent, a family member, something. So we have, and it's an engaging program. These kids just don't, we're not just raising money. We're asking kids to get their hands dirty. Mm-hmm. Ask, get involved, be engaged, raise, do a car wash, and know that the money is going to some place that directly affects the patient. And so that's why we chose 10 years ago not to do research, because we're not those people. We're just two people that said, came together and said, okay, how can we make this difference, and what are the things that we can do?
I love the name Rising Stars too, because that's really beautiful to get the youngsters, the young kids involved.
Yeah,
because they also realize the human condition too. You know, we all, I'm blessed, we live in affluent communities, yeah. But you know, you have to be able to get back and understand the human condition with the friendly smile and the human touch. And that's a wonderful program. You ladies should be really proud about that. And you've been doing this almost 10 years now, right?
Yes.
It's a long time. It's a decade. And you've seen a lot. Suzanne, I was impressed. You ladies keep on learning, because that's also important. You keep on learning, evolving, and growing. So let's assume, you know, someone walked into the Cooperman Barnabas Medical Center. You ladies have your fingerprints on this place.
Yes,
in terms of that, the medical and the oncology units there, where it's different, right? It's different.
It looks different.
Right. And what would be like the first striking thing, Hyla, you would notice from 10 years ago to today walking to those units?
It's completely different. So 10 years ago, it looked like a traditional institution, a hospital with the mauve floors and mint green walls and ugly chairs. And that coffee machine that's always tastes terrible. Now, all the furniture is updated to be modern and clean and contemporary. All the artwork on the walls are flowers and nature and very uplit. They're created and they're set in these clear, crisp way, a very uplifting environment. The curtains are up, the shades are up, light is shining through the rooms. There are snacks in the waiting area that where you check in to for your appointments. They're private. The people that check you in are sort of trained to speak in a different way, very positive. How's your day? Not just give me your insurance card. What's your name? Take a seat. Absolutely not. That's not how you feel. You walk into those rooms with anxiety. So everything from the first point of contact to when you leave should be, we encourage a different experience. And from the personal contact to the way it looks, when you look, and then once you walk out of the cancer center, it goes back to the traditional institutional looking hallways. And we're very proud.
I remember, it's interesting. I remember, and it's, I'm talking year one when we started with radiation oncology, and we, the waiting rooms were done. The changing rooms were done, I'm sorry. And I remember being there for a meeting and walking out, and a woman came out of the changing room and said, and looked at us and said, thank you. Thank you for making it better. And she goes, I got dressed after my treatment today, and I got to look in a mirror and put my clothes on, and I just felt good to come out of there. It was a different feeling. It, you know, made you just feel like you're not just a patient, that you're being thought of.
You know, what's fascinating too, though, is how the environment can change your whole outlook on things, not just for the patient, but for the family. You know, the doom and gloom, the sterile, the white walls, you know, the linoleum floors. And then you ladies have transformed the experience. And that's incredible. From a seed that germinated like 10 years ago. It's fascinating. Once again, ladies, and God bless you. Now, you have a big event coming up on April 23rd, A Reason to Walk. So tell us about that.
That's really with our rising stars. That started about 4 years ago. One of our volunteers, Jody Bloom, had some kids in high school. They're now, I think, in college. So we've been doing it for many years. And based on the fact that the kids wanted to do something. So Reason to Walk is in Millburn every year. And we have hundreds of kids from different sports teams, the principals, the coaches all support it. Again, everyone knows someone who's been touched by cancer. And to participate, $25 a walker. You can get a team together. You can walk individually. And it's a 5K and it's lovely. And what's really special is that it really chokes me up every time. We give out a piece of paper and you can write something. I'm walking in honor of, I'm walking because of, and it's just so cool when that walk starts in there and you see the backs of these people and you know, guys and girls are holding, you know, arm in arm, and they know they're doing something great. And we've been lucky because the coaches and the schools have embraced it. And the boys soccer coach will say, okay, no practice today, but you're going to walk Reason to Walk for Comfort Project 360. And everyone feels good about it. So that's coming up on April 23rd. We have a website on that. So you asked us about how to reach us. We have www.thecomfortproject360.com is where you'll find us on a landing page at Cooperman Bartimus. And there's also a landing page for the walk, The Reason to Walk. And
we have a bunch of schools involved this year.
Beyond Livingston?
Yeah.
Oh, so it originally started out like Livingston High School, Millburn High School. Now we have Mobeard,
Montclair, Kimberly, Newark Academy. We just keep wanting to grow. And we've actually had some participation, not at the walk, but from donations from Cedar Knoll, kids from Cedar Knolls, all the way out from
Warren.
And once we've been so blessed that when either a parent or a young person hears about it, they want to do it. They want to get involved. They want to help us in our mission to make the cancer journey a little bit better.
Even our local businesses, you know, in the communities, they reach out to us. How can we help? They'll have, you know, a day in their store where proceeds will, you know, some of the proceeds from their sales will go back to Comfort Project 360.
We just sometimes pinch ourselves, we're so proud, not of each other. We're just so proud to have been able to do this and to feel that somebody is benefiting from our little idea and desire to try to make it better for someone else.
That's the beauty of life, but also what you ladies have stepped up and changed. You changed the environment. You're changing the world by doing this, because it's not just helping the patients and the families, but the community, right? You're getting volunteers involved, the kids. You've been doing this like 10 years, so that's like already a tradition now. What's it like, you know, for you, Suzanne, when you get the thank yous from folks? How does that make you feel?
I'd say first I get a little embarrassed because I'm like, I don't want to thank you. But it touches my heart because something that we set out to do is really touching people and making a difference in their lives, whether it be for themselves, their loved ones, their friends. It's something that's just, it just feels good what we set out to do is really making a difference on this journey for people in our community. And all we want to do, as I said, we want to keep learning, we want to keep doing,
developing new programs.
Well, that was the other thing, too. So, Hyla, if you'll permit. So, Cooperman Barnabas, wonderful medical center, you know, one of the top in the country. I mean, we're all blessed to live in the area. There's some wonderful medical facilities. Have you thought about, you know, contacting other facilities and say, you know, we started this program 10 years ago, and these are the tangible benefits?
Well, we've actually been contacted by other hospitals in the area, and we say our first commandment is to Cooper and Barnabas, but it's not possible necessarily for us because you need people, you need leaders like us who took, you know, control of that mission and got the community support. If you don't have a sense of, you know, bond or presence in the community, we couldn't do it. It's all about our community. So, for example, we were approached by some other hospital in Bergen County, actually multiple places. Mm-hmm. For us, it's about our community. We are successful because people have embraced the idea. If there were people in another community that could do this, this is not brain surgery. This is just thinking with your heart and executing different ideas. It would be great if there was a Comfort Project 360 in every hospital, in every division of every hospital. We focus on cancer. Someone came up to us. I mean, there's a NICU. They do wonderful things and they raise money because that's a very, they do a miracle walk. And it's a very strong program at Cooperman. But we are only as good as we, as the people behind us. And that's it. So when we worked with some of our vendors, our robe company specifically, because they were also, the people we work with want to do this for a purpose. Someone's been touched. They want to roll it out nationally. We said, okay, that's so cool, but there need to be a Hyla Suzanne or a Susie in every community.
Yeah, but they're probably, if I may, yeah. Not like you. You ladies are incredible. But there's listeners, people watching are going to tune in.
Do
who knows
it.
When down the road and be like, you know something? If Hyla and Suzanne did it, why can't we try at least to
absolutely
do something?
Absolutely can.
I mean, that's the wonderful thing about it. I love doing the show, too, is to plan and see whatever people are into. And you use your creative gifts together and you're changing so many things. Suzanne, let me ask you this. The volunteerism, what does it mean to you as a, you know, you look wonderful. You're getting a little older, but you look wonderful, right? You're all, you know, I'm going to have a milestone birthday soon. So you start to reflect more. It's kind of interesting, though. Older you get, you want to leave a legacy.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts about volunteerism? And I think I muffed up what I just said, so my apologies to you. No, but what I'm saying is that as you've gotten older, have you and more mature, more experienced, what are your thoughts about volunteerism?
I think there's nothing better that you can do. I think it's the best medicine. I think, you know what? We think about ourselves. We want to take care of ourselves. But taking care of others and leaving a mark and giving back, I don't think there's anything that feels better than that. And it's something that I have tried to instill in my children. Because... I mean, what was our, I'm trying to think of our original.
So one of the things that people always say when somebody gets sick, what can I do for you? As it relates down to a patient, not even as this program, but someone's newly diagnosed or someone's not feeling well, what can I do? Do you need something? What you
just
need
do.
Just do.
Just do.
Don't ask. Just do.
Show up for
show
them.
Show up with a meal. Show up with a warm smile, just do something. Don't just sit back and watch. Oh, because that will make a difference in someone else's life. And it also make you, that person, feel good that they've done something for someone else. It's an open heart.
Right. And we do better as a team. You know, I think people volunteering, people coming together, it's not just one person. It takes a village. And... I believe our community has really shown up.
Absolutely.
And they keep showing up. And it just makes the whole experience that much better.
Yeah, I think they show up because you ladies are, you're real, you're authentic. I mean, you're coming at it from your own experiences. You know, you're not posing. A lot of people kind of pose, but they're not in it. Like, you ladies have put your blood, sweat, and tears into it. Hyla, what about your thoughts on volunteerism, how it maybe, you know, has impacted your life and how you look at things?
It's sort of, I feel blessed to be able to do this. And it has become part of who I am. It always was. I always kind of been that person that, you know, things. I went into marketing. You asked me, it was, you know, what did I do? I was in marketing because I liked to solve a problem. It was always an opportunity to do something, make a difference. So then it became so personal. And every single day, it is part of my life. And I'm so proud to be able to think that way. I have two kids. My legacy, is teaching my children to give back and to make a difference. And everybody's busy and everybody has something to do and everybody has their own agenda. But there's nothing feels better than if you step away from yourself and you're able to do something for someone else. It's what I want to be known for. It's who I am and it's how I live my life. And I'm so happy that I've been able to have this experience to just make it to feel more fulfilled about as I get older. Yes, we're all getting older.
And it's not something I think we want to give up.
Are aging like a fine wine. I got to redeem myself.
Because okay.
Like I said, I think I muffed
it's
up how
good.
I got into that
Listen,
segue.
After having many health issues, getting older for me is great. Yeah. I'm psyched because I've endured a lot and survivorship is everything. And to make my life meaningful is important for my kids to see.
That's who we are.
It's what I want to be known for.
Yeah, you know what's interesting too, though, when you lose a loved one or you battle a disease, I think you become that much more grateful for what you do
so
have.
So grateful,
right? Because then it puts it all in perspective. Because it'd be taken away in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So you realize I've got to do something more valuable in my life, more fulfilling. So, Suzanne, tell us from your perspective, what else can the listeners and viewers do right now to help Comfort 360?
Reach out to us if you want to be involved. If there are students out there that want to get involved, reach out to our development office, and we could provide the number again. And we'll help you. We'll be there. We'll help you. We'll guide you on different kinds of activities you could do to give back. If there are volunteers out there, if you want to get involved in our walk on April 23rd, again, reach out.
We could use volunteers for the cart.
We could use volunteers for the cart.
Because more human touch would just be better.
Yep. And also, we have an annual, one other thing. We have an annual event in the fall, and we're going to start our planning stages soon. So if you would like to get involved with that, again, reach out to our development office. Find us on Facebook. You know, we're happy to talk to anybody. And we welcome anybody to embrace Comfort Project 360.
And I also know, and you ladies should be really proud, at Cooperman Barnabas, they're building a new patient-centric, state-of-the-art cancer center.
Yeah.
Which is another example of how you took an idea, like 10 years ago, and a world-class facility has really, really embraced it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's wonderful, right? Because it'll all be under one roof.
New center. As they move forward, it'll be done about 2024, 2025. We have been very grateful to be included in that planning and to make, because the philosophy there is to have patient-centric programs that all facilities will be under one roof, which is great for the patient standpoint. But for us, we've been very involved and we've been asked to be involved in how to make that new cancer center more supportive, more comforting, what programs that could be developed to continue to help the patients and their families.
That's why, and ladies, let me just say, God bless both of you again for coming on the show this Sunday. I knew it was going to be an emotional, very powerful show, and it meant so much to me and the listeners for you to share your journey. Comfort 360 is an amazing idea. Help the listeners realize they can do anything if they really want to make a change. These ladies are shining examples of coming together. There was a need, and they helped find a solution. For all of us, I really believe this in my heart and soul, we're in this together. Help your friend. If your friend's in need, step up. Just do it. You'll feel so much better inside, and you help your friend and you help their family, and you're really going to help the world. God bless you. Please tune in next Sunday. Take care.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.